live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 160. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Brandon Reif and the Crossroads listening audience, man. How are we doing, man? Doing just fine myself, man. What's up, man?
Yeah.
You ready to talk? You feeling good today?
Yeah, we've got a jam-packed sports week. We just finished up with the Final Four here in Indianapolis. The entire tournament, we only had one team that had to leave. I call it a success for the entire NCAA tournament being here. We've got NBA news and notes this evening to go over. We've got maybe Jonathan Birdsong and myself may have to dress for the Indiana Pacers, the fact that nobody's playing for them tonight. We may need to dress or find somebody. We've got college basketball news to talk about a little bit this evening, and then as well, Masters. I got the hat on, the Masters hat. Masters is this week. It is Masters week. Starting tomorrow, Thursday, the first round action. We'll be talking a little bit about that. And we also have two interviews tonight, 7 o'clock, top of the next hour. Tyrone Brown with the ABA Indiana Lions team, the owner, CEO, slash coach, the Mr. Do-It-All, as I would say. Judging by his profile. So Tyrone Brown will be joining us this evening at 7. And then at 7:30, we bring back into the fold assistant coach with Wright State, Abby Jump, will join us at 7:30. Talk about a little bit about the back-to-back Horizon League champs and as well as the run that the Lady Raiders made in the NCAA tournament down in San Antonio. Big show, John.
Yeah, we got a jam-packed show, man. I can't wait to chomp into it, man. I know, dude, I've been getting chirped left and right between the last show and all this weekend about my pick about Gonzaga not necessarily winning, but not necessarily they didn't win the championship game or what have you, man. But hell, though, that's just because, you know what I'm saying, most of the people that were chirping at me, man, their bracket was busted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or one weekend. So I know we're going to cover all that, man. So we want to start which game you want to start at?
Yeah, let's first start with the I guess let's just do Final Four with the national championship, the big one. Baylor, number one Baylor against number one Gonzaga, the undefeated team chasing history against the Indiana Hoosiers, the 76 Hoosiers. Baylor, I was at the game. Great atmosphere, I would think, for the entire weekend. Baylor just punches Gonzaga straight in the face. You got two heavyweights in a fight, and you get knocked down, pretty much knocked down and almost knocked out in the first 10 seconds of the game. Baylor's already up 7-0 without everybody looking. Gonzaga did not know what to do, John. They couldn't find it. Mark Few looked lost on the sidelines. At one point, the camera panned to him in the arena, and he was just like, I don't know what the hell to do. It's nothing coaching can do. It's just they're better players than they had the game plan a hell of a lot better. So Baylor wins their national championship. Scott Drew, here from Indiana himself, gets a national championship. Thoughts on the game, John?
I think about week six, right, of this particular NCAA college season, man. You were a little bit high on Baylor about them making a tournament run where, you know what I'm saying, well, they've made great tournament runs here in the years past. If you think about, I think about 2013, maybe, and even 2010, they had some chances to get to the Elite Eight, even Final Four, but, you know what I'm saying, some other blue bloods kind of kept them from achieving those goals. But like, nah, man, you kind of hit the nail on the head, man. There was nothing Gonzaga could do. Baylor, you know what I'm saying, Baylor's probably the second best team defensively all year, per the analytics. They rebounded very well, offensive rebounded in this particular game. That's what kept that's what kept Gonzaga at bay for the most part, is with second chance opportunities. And, you know, saying they were able to score at any time in half court and in transition and especially from shooting threes, man, which is, I think, a category that they were like 1-2 in all year, for percentage-wise, shooting threes. So the matchup, I think a lot of experts, whether it was Charles Barkley in the beginning of the game or even another coach who I kind of follow on Twitter, Lavelle Moten, kind of felt that Corey Kispert was going to be a matchup problem due to his size and shooting ability against Baylor, and that wasn't the case. It actually was the exact opposite. When Baylor went small with their three-guard lineup of Davion Mitchell and Maceo Teague and Jared Butler, it was a matchup. It was a matchup that the Gonzaga, the Corey Kispert, and held all the guards except for maybe Jalen Suggs. And Jalen Suggs kind of got in foul trouble early on, but outside of that, they just couldn't stay in front of him. And you know how, you know, everybody knows how basketball works. You can't stay in front of your man. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to be long. It's going to be hard on your bigs to defend, which could cause more pressure. I mean, Drew Timmy had his hands full himself inside, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? You know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? The watershed hit him. You know what I'm saying? Hit Gonzaga. And I don't think they didn't even go with any excuse. They, as we know, they had an emotional win against UCLA, which was very tight back and forth. You know what I'm saying? For some of the similar reasons, because UCLA plays like UCLA can play with anybody. They, you know what I'm saying, they can score with anybody. You know what I'm saying, so on and so forth. So real tight, and took, you know what I'm saying, special, as we all saw, one shiny moment type of half court heave three pointer, a banker from Jalen Suggs to win it. But I don't think they necessarily use that as an excuse in this game. I don't think they can. They just outbested, because the Baylor players were, you know, I know it's cliche, bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah, I thought that somebody asked me if I thought Baylor won the game, took the game, or Gonzaga just let the game go. You know, I'm trying to think exact words they told. They asked me, did Baylor win the game or did Gonzaga lose the game, basically? And I said, I think Baylor won the game. I think
Baylor won the game. They left. If you think about it, at halftime they kind of left the door open. Gonzaga made a run to come back.
Yeah, they got down to 10.
Yeah, it's at one point I think they were down 19, right? But like, nah, man, that game gets played. You know what I'm saying? 10 out of 10 times, I think Gonzaga might win 3 games. You know what I mean? I just think that the offensively, they couldn't. The things that Gonzaga would do prior to, it's not. I mean, they had a great magical run, and I don't want anybody crap on. I mean, I hate those. You know what I'm saying? I hate even talking to those people or interacting with the people that's kind of crap on the. You know what I'm saying? Their conference or you know what I'm saying, their seating or whatever. They still beat USC, you know what I'm saying? They beat USC. They still won the game against UCLA. They still beat, I do believe. Hold on, who else did they play? Getting to this game. Yeah, they blew out, you know what I'm saying, the first round opponent by 43 points or whatever. But like, they still had to play some pretty hot, red hot teams getting to
right.
the Final Four. So I don't put it on the conference itself like that. Especially in this tournament, this tournament shows you that a mid-major can, you know what I'm saying, Oral Roberts, North Texas, you know what I'm saying, can beat a blue chipper, can beat a big dog, right? So I don't necessarily put it on the conference. I just put it on the fact that, like, you know what I'm saying, like you said, Baylor, they Gonzaga has this switch they can flip. They just couldn't flip the switch because Baylor had, you know what I'm saying, their own switch they could flip, you know what I mean? So, you know, the better team. I think the both teams that the best teams in the country. They were neck and neck, probably 1 and 2 at some point. I do believe Baylor was probably number one overall for like maybe 3 or 4 weeks before they took a loss, and then they went to their little COVID scare or whatnot, and they kind of slid up between 3 and 4. I mean, it was it 3-1 and I'm saying 2 and 4? You know, 2, 3 and 4 for a couple weeks or whatever, but. Like, nah, man, these are the two best teams in the nation, and, you know, they got to show what they could do playing against one another, and Baylor just came out ahead.
Yeah, I also like to think if this game did not get canceled back in December 5th here in Indianapolis, pretty much an hour and a half before the game was supposed to start, they had a cause of COVID tests come back and run that game back in December, and Gonzaga kind of sees what this Baylor team's all about and say Baylor wins. And then we're looking at Baylor possibly has a chance of running the table. I know they lost to Kansas or Oklahoma State, in the Big 12 tournament, and they lost to, I do think they lost to Kansas or Texas, one of those in the regular season. But I just wonder back, what could have happened if these two teams play? What adjustments would have Mark Few or even Scott Drew's team made? Because one thing I noticed, and I saw online as well, Gonzaga, it's like they didn't know what to do on offense when Baylor came out and hedged on ball screens. it's like a hedge and reach. I didn't know what to do, which is crazy to me. Drew Timmy got neutralized. Absolutely. I thought it was weird that he does his little dunk and his little mustache thing when you're getting your ass beat by 17. But, hey, you know what? Maybe that was going to be the spark. Kispert couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. It was life dependent on it out there.
Yep.
Ayayi, I thought he might have been the only – besides Suggs, he would have been the only other consistent player playing the other night. But Ayayi, Suggs, obviously Suggs shows why he is a top 10 NBA lottery pick. I wonder about his size in the NBA, John. I think to me he could remind me of a Jalen Brunson type in college or in the pros. I was trying to find a comparison to him, but he could have a Jalen Brunson type run. I know Brunson's playing with the Mavs, and he's getting a little bit of play. But Brunson there, and it was really, really, really shocking. And we were in the section with both squads, Baylor and Gonzaga area, and just the pure craziness going on and cheering for one side, and then just the complete shock and awe and looking up the scoreboard and seeing it's 23-5. Like, what the hell is going on right now? Like is this the number one team coming to play? And tip your hat to Baylor. Great game plan. They played well. Were they the best team all season long? No, but it's whoever can string six games. We got the right matchup. We got the national championship game that we wanted and we needed. It just so happened that, hey, one team showed up and could play. The other one just got outplayed.
Just got outplayed. I people chirped on me on my Twitter handle talking about if Gonzaga played a Big Ten schedule, if Gonzaga played an SEC schedule. Again, would they incur a loss maybe? Two losses, maybe, but would they still be, be able to navigate this tournament? I'd say for sure. You know what I mean? The Big Ten can cry foul, the ACC can cry foul or whatever, But like, nah, man, two best teams, made it to the final game. And it still was enjoyable Final Four, still enjoyable championship game for me, even though I didn't necessarily watch any net cutting for Baylor, man, I kind of checked out before the end. But I still think it was a great tournament regardless of Duke and Kentucky or Louisville or some of the other big name programs not being there. We got to see a lot. We got to see the resurgence of the UCLA program and what Mick Cronin has in store for years to come. We got to see what the magical run of Oral Roberts. And what that program is potentially, man. That I watched the press conference of that coach. He's retained. He was saying that things like he wants to build the program to be like a Butler to model something like Butler or like Loyola Chicago. Not necessarily always kind of knocking, always being that dangerous team. So we got to see some great stories. We got to see some great players emerge, some great names, whether it's Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, or even Evan Mobley, who we'll see probably sometime in June, NBA draft time or whatnot. And I think we'll also see some runback players here next year. We got great stories, man, unfortunately, from a local standpoint. Purdue fell a little short, way short. And, as we know, Butler and IU didn't make it. But, with all those programs, including now Indiana State and including even Ball State, I still think the future is bright with who they've recruited and who they're going to bring in. So You know what I'm saying? It's having all that kind of stuff in your backyard and you not being a part of it. I know those programs take, personal pride and like, man, you know what I'm saying? What hell, Jaden Ivey was on Twitter the other day. You know, I'm a big Twitter user, right? Jaden Ivey was talking about Purdue 2022 wanting to be, because like, there's no way you can be around this and not want to be a part of it. Not, if you're a player and not want to be, and you don't want to be a spectator, you want to be in the mix of it. So some programs, I don't want to dominate, but you keep on talking. But like some programs are a little bit closer to getting to that level of play, getting to the Final Four. I'm talking about here locally. I know IU has done some things, you know what I'm saying, here recently to try to get there. But again, man, I just think that the term was success, man. I don't know if they're going to run it back here in Indianapolis or not. Will they do a single site? But I sure hope they do.
I hope they do as a. I think you would do a four. I think a 4-year rotation would be good for here in Indianapolis. The question you run into then as well is, do you bubble it back up with the teams again? And yes, the city made money and made a lot of money, but also there was a lot of money missed when it comes to dining, when it comes to hotels and lodging, especially with those four hotels mm-hmm. that were bubbled, especially the Indianapolis Marriott downtown that was bubbled for the entire month. That's a lot of missed revenue, could be for fans. The city of Indianapolis this year, the police escorts, there were 700 and some police escorts for the entire tournament. All those were free from the IMPD, didn't charge the NCAA a single one. Mm-hmm. You best believe that not COVID year, that's not going to be happening.
Right.
I would like to see it every 4 years. I just don't know if it's logistically going to happen because the city was desperate for something. The city was desperate to host this. I just don't know if we're going to be desperate to do it again. When the city's going to be leaving a lot of money out there on the
right.
I mean, you can put teams in the hotels with fans, but really you're still not getting the max value you would normally get.
Well, you know, I don't want to go into a deep scientific conversation about how COVID works or how, you know what I'm saying, herd immunity works or whatnot. You know what I'm saying, 6 more months, 8 more months of people getting vaccinated or whatnot, we'll be a little bit better to deal with, more fans and deal with, you know what I'm saying, any place will, for that matter, you know what I'm saying, whether it's Indianapolis, Chicago, or Columbus, whatever, you know what I mean? I'm pro Midwest, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean? Anywhere,
right.
Anywhere we drive to with 2 or 3 hours, man, I think it'd be cool. This is the heartland of America, you know what I'm saying? I think it's great for basketball, but, you know what I'm saying, I don't know, I see what you're saying, Brandon. I think they kind of go to this format where they rotate a city or location where we have a single site. So we'll see.
Right
for sure.
Right now, next Final Four next year is in New Orleans. The next time they were back in Indianapolis will be 2026, barring something catastrophic happening. 2026 will be your next Final Four here in the city for the men's. I believe the women are in a year or two back here, so for their Final Four.
Okay.
We'll have to check on that. Last thing I have, Final Four wise, thoughts on Houston? Just completely deer in the headlights look going to the Final Four game against Baylor?
That would be, like I said, I think Baylor was number one or number two. I say they were number two best defensive team. I think Kelvin Sampson put out a team that was defensively just as locked in, just like Baylor. They get up into your chest. They like to defend. What Houston didn't have was offense like a Gonzaga to even try to just creep back into a game. That's why they got blown out. You know what I'm saying? They don't have elite. You know what I'm saying? Kelvin Sampson said, you know what I'm saying, he doesn't believe in, you know what I'm saying, just don't having guys just shoot bad shots. So he has a better recruiting class coming in next year. He's not one of these. I know at press time Arizona just came open. Right, but I don't think necessarily he's leaving just yet unless, you know what I'm saying, somebody makes an offer, especially with him resigning extension last year or whatnot. But, like, no, they didn't have – Houston just didn't have – this particular crew just didn't have the firepower to keep up with a high power offense. You know what I'm saying? They got the defense. Again, they're locked in. They can, you know what I'm saying, and whatnot. They get after you, you know what I'm saying, and play the passing lanes and all that, but they shouldn't have the offense. So when the going got rough for them and they need the buckets, there was really nobody they can necessarily go to. There definitely wasn't anybody from the outside. You know what I'm saying? You need, once you get down big double digits, you got to go to your three game, and if you don't have a consistent outside shooter, you know what I'm saying, you can't just be putting up bricks, right? So,
right.
I mean, Houston, I know a lot of fans around here, IU folks who are, you know what I'm saying, wishing bad on a former coach or whatever. I know they were happy for him, you know what I'm saying, getting bound out, but shoot, it has to be some type of envy is why they're rooting against him, man, because again, he took the University of Houston is not a little school by any recommendation, but it's a little program by comparison to what the kind of money and funding that the Hoosiers have. So I don't know, man. I think we'll see some more of Kelvin Sampson for sure next year.
Switching to the IU front, John, big news, I guess, on Monday. Dane Fife is joining the Indiana coaching staff. We thought he'd be a head coaching candidate, but he's going to join as the associate head coach. Pretty much Mike Woodson's number two. So you've got him, Thad Mata, the other assistant that they retained with them. They've got one more coaching spot open still. They haven't said it. But Dane Fife leaving Michigan State and Sparty, coming back to Indiana. I believe coaching waiting.
For sure. I believe it's a coaching waiting type of situation. Again, I don't know why you have to do coaching waiting types of situations.
I agree.
Dane Fife has been an assistant or he's been around a program. I get it. The situation at where was he at when he got his first coach? IPFW.
Yeah.
I think that's where he was at. That situation kind of fell flat or whatever. It wasn't the apropos like when Steve Alford went to Southwestern Missouri or whatever, and he, you know what I'm saying, turned a nothing program into something program. But again, all those, you know what I'm saying, all those years, either recruiting or drawing up X and O's as an assistant in Michigan State. Again, I don't know why you just wouldn't, you know, and him being an alumni, I don't know why you would just take the chance at jump-starting that already. So it'll probably be a couple seasons where we see, hell, he's already doing more pressers, I feel like, than Mike Woodson did. You know what I'm saying? If you got to listen to, local radio here, once the announcement was made. So I like the move better than, you know what I'm saying, some of the other things that I had heard out of the you know what I'm saying, the power of whoever's running the show out of Bloomington, Scott Dolson, whoever running the show, like, you know what I'm saying, when they start bringing up names like Larry Brown, who's not anything outside of what he did for the Pacers in the 90s, there's no reason why Larry Brown would be even sniffing around a college program like IU. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know what I'm saying, at least this makes sense to bring in, you know what I'm saying, assistant coach Dane Fife. And like you said, he's definitely, you know what I'm saying, you know, the coaching waiting, kind of like how they did with Matt Painter at Purdue.
Yeah. Real quick, John, just saw on Twitter the Final Four, the national championship game. There is a strong source who's usually correct on these things. That the Baylor players found out that some of the Gonzaga guys had ordered cases of champagne prior to the title game. Baylor took that as serious disrespect. They even talked about it during the game on the court. No wonder why Baylor kicked their ass so badly.
Well, I knew it had to be Kisberg because he was 22.
He's the one ordering it.
Yeah, he's the upper classman. Jalen Suggs just barely out of high school, so I don't know if he. I don't think he's the one ordering the champagne. So I don't know, man. Yeah. Like you said, the last little tidbit I want to say about Final Four, man. A lot of folks are saying Mark Few, you know what I'm saying, Al Coach, you know what I'm saying, should he dip or whatever and go take to another gig or whatever. I think he's fine where he's at, man. He walks on water in Gonzaga. They don't have the banner just yet, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, anybody would trade places, you know what I'm saying, with what Gonzaga has done for, like, the last 10 years, you know what I'm saying, living in the name alone of fear of, like, oh, man, they're playing, you know what I'm saying, nobody's going to schedule them. If you schedule them, you schedule them on your turf. You don't go to, you know what I'm saying, Washington to go play Spokane to go play them. So right. I think Few stays. I mean, I don't want to keep on rambling about the Final Four. I know we got to move on to the next subject. But, like, again, man, a lot of people chirping about Gonzaga falling flat and him leaving and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Unless Arizona makes him an offer he can't refuse, I think he stays in Gonzaga. Probably, we're still talking about Gonzaga next year, you know what I'm saying? Just like, right there, back at it.
Yep. Also, today it was announced Indiana landed Pittsburgh Panther transfer Xavier Johnson. Johnson averaged 14 points a game, 3 rebounds, and 5 assists this past season for Pitt. Big pickup for the Hoosiers and Xavier Johnson.
Oh, for sure, man. Again, man, you run into this arrogance, man. You can have all the coaches you want. If IU don't have anybody to go out there and play and execute elite level, they're still going to have another flat season. You're still going to be looking at another coaching change. So IU also got some good news. Christian Lander came out of the transfer portal. He's going to be suited up with the Hoosiers again. Trace Jackson Davis. I didn't particularly care for his interview. Some of the things he was saying, you know what I'm saying, kind of, you know, put it all on the coach and didn't necessarily put it all on the players and all his particular play. Maybe that's something they correct. I'm just being honest, man. You know, he said, well, we weren't allowed to play. Well, man, who's playing, dude? You were the preseason All-American, both Big Ten and National All-American. So, but I get it, you know what I'm saying. They got a chance to talk, finally, as you think about it, the information – folks out of Bloomington don't necessarily really give you a whole lot of information. You know what I'm saying? Outside of what's my guy, Fish talking, you know what I'm saying, coming onto the TV or radio. But like, nah, man, kudos to IU, man. They are, if you ask me, the team that's the furthest away. When I watched the Final Four and seeing what the teams that were there, UCLA, Baylor, Gonzaga, and even Houston. Like, those teams are elite level. They play great defense. All four of those teams play great defense. All four of those teams have guys can go get you buckets, and guys that you can depend upon to get you 20, guys that you depend upon to play smart and rebound. And, you know what I'm saying, that's something we haven't necessarily seen with Indiana at all, you know what I'm saying, either with Archie Miller's teams or even some of the teams before Crean kind of got fired. We haven't necessarily seen, you know what I'm saying, a smart level basketball. So hopefully, you know what I'm saying, all that kind of gets, you know what I'm saying, taken care of.
Yeah. Got to get my Purdue thing in there, one thing. John, early, way too early rankings for next season. several of them. ESPN's got Purdue number 3 in the country. Fox has got Fox Stadium and The Athletic have Purdue at number 4. Company, they have somebody has them at number 6. NCAA.com's got 7. USA Today Sports Illustrated 8 and 9. So Boilermakers, preseason 4. I shake my head. I said 3 and 4. I said, uh oh. And they didn't lose anybody, so they're reloading. The only thing lost was assistant coaches.
Right. They right. Shrewsbury's gone. My guy, I forget his name, he's gone to Corpus Christi, North Texas, down, you know what I'm saying, took that gig down there. Some of that will be missed. We still got Coach Brantley, right, friend of the program, down at Purdue doing his thing. But it's still very much culture-driven. I would not necessarily put Purdue's closer to what getting to the Final Four than IU is. That's for darn sure, right? But you're talking about 3 or 4? Woo, that's a little high. I wouldn't have, like, but you said, when whoever said NCAA.
I'll let you tell Brantley that.
Right. Number 7, I wouldn't doubt that. I would put them in the top 10, set between 7 and maybe 12. You know what I mean? Again, a lot of teams are going to be losing players. Illinois is going to lose. Illinois is already my guy. I mess up his name every time.
Yes, Io.
He
a sumo.
He just declared, and the center probably is going to declare at some point as well. Hell, they got another kid is in the transfer portal, so Illinois is not going to necessarily look like Illinois next year. Wagner's probably from Michigan's probably going to come out.
That's why it's so early.
Yeah, Michigan's going to have they got three McDonald's All-Americans coming in. Again, they're going to be young, but shoot, McDonald's All-Americans, who doesn't cover McDonald's All-Americans in this particular times, right? So, but like, yeah, there's some teams that's going to be just as strong, or they're not going to lose as much, right? Ohio State's
right.
Still going to be up there as well. So, again, three, maybe not, but definitely Purdue should be, like I said, the top seven. Top 10 for sure in the league, in the country, and like I said, they with that culture that they have up there, I wouldn't necessarily bet against them to get into a, you know, I know too early, I wouldn't necessarily bet against them to at least a Sweet 16, because again, everybody's gonna be a little older as well. So
right, we'll bring our boy real quick on, see if we can get him in here. D. Cobb,
what's going on?
Gents?
What's up, gents? How y'all doing today?
Good.
What's
yourself?
Up, man?
Hey, I'm okay. I had to get in early because I've been busy a lot lately. I said I got to make sure I get in because I missed last Wednesday. I just logged in and kind of listened to you guys talk. I think you guys are talking about guys leaving early for the draft. And that's going to continue to happen, obviously, because with the COVID situation and guys are saying, hey, you know, I can get better practicing every day without limited hours. So I came in on tail end, so I don't know if I'm regurgitating what you are saying. I support guys leaving, even if he isn't 100% ready, because if you think about it, you've probably got 10 to 15, maybe 20 guys every year that are ready. The rest of them aren't ready anyway. But why limit yourself on an hour count of practice in college when you can practice all day, every day? There are no restrictions, and you're playing against better players. As when we were, you know, coming up, we always said, hey, play against better. That's what gets you better, right? But I hear a lot of fans saying, oh, he should stay one more year because he's not ready. I don't know if that 1 year gets guys ready anyway. I mean, that's my take on it, on that part.
The only thing I would say, D-Kai, is that from a college standpoint, yes, you're right. From an NBA standpoint, as a fan of any particular franchise, I don't like taking young guys because there's less LeBron in the next two drafts, or Tim Duncan, or any, you know, those type of guys. So you'll draft a kid and hope that he turns into something maybe in 3-4 seasons, and then if he does, you hope that he likes your city, and if he doesn't, he's gone. So,
right. So you were the culture starter for this young player, and you helped Team B get this player that they need because you were the farm team. Am I right?
Basically, Paul George and the Pacers.
Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah. I wouldn't say the Pacers. They're not necessarily a farm team per se.
We were.
There are some farm teams when you talk about Minnesota Timberwolves, and you talk about Orlando. That those are things that kind of ownership, you know what I'm saying, either A, doesn't want to invest a whole lot of money into making a championship, a playoff level team, or B, they don't draft the right people, right, period. To mix their talent with young guys and veterans. It has to be a mixture. You can't just have three guys fresh out of high school. Two years ago, McDonald's All-Americans. They think they're going to go beat Kevin Durant, Kevin in the net.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Well, but if you think about this too, though, right, on the Paul George deal, he did sign a second contract. So he gave out, I think, I want to say 7 years, if I may be wrong.
Yeah.
Was it seven? So, yeah. So, you know, so not we're not talking about the rookie contract. He turns it down and says, no worries, I'm going to get better elsewhere. He didn't do a Shaq, if you remember back when Shaq left Orlando, right? So that's a little bit of a different comparison. But also what I want to hit on, you know, I know, Jonathan, I think you and I kind of agreed, and this other guy that's on the phone may not have agreed so much. talk about Woody. Think Woody coming to Indiana at this time was the perfect hire, man. And here are the things why I say he's the perfect hire. I'm going to tell you why. I'll tell you, just work with me here.
Okay.
Indiana coming off 19 years of futility since 2002, the national championship game. And the reason why I say futility is if you think about Tom Crean, you know, the recruiter he is, number one class coming in, Mike Davis, the guys he brought in, right? And Tom Crean went, he was a number one, they were number one ranked team in the country, and I'll never forget Syracuse taking us to the woodshed because of their length, and then we were outcoached. Last time the IU Hoosiers have had a sniff of anything was then. They had talented players, and then look at the NBA. It's scattered with guys from that roster. They underachieved then. They underachieved for Mike Davis when in his situation. Then we had Kelvin Sampson, two-time loser here. I mean, we slap you on the wrist. We slap you on the wrist when you get there and say, don't ever do it again. And you say, you know what? They won't catch me again. Let me try it again. So what Woody brings is character. He's a winner. He knows exactly what it takes to play in the NBA because he was a very good player in the NBA, not a great player, very good for I think he played double-digit years. He's coached in the biggest market under the biggest spotlight in New York City. You didn't hear one bad thing about him. He didn't budge, and he had a lot of controversy around him. He withstood all of that, and he came out squeaky clean. You talk to any NBA guy that is familiar with Woody, they'll tell you the exact same thing. The challenge he is going to have, and again, I don't know his whole staff. I know he got five. I do know that. I know they retained one assistant coach from the previous staff. My concern is his assistant coaches, and who's going to be director of recruiting, and what is that going to look like? That's my only concern. He's going to bring leadership. And I'm not that guy that says, oh, we need an IU guy. No, not me. No. We need a guy who gets it. And if anybody thinks that Mike Wilson doesn't get it, they're mistaken. I don't know that he's going to coach for the next 30 years after he's 63 years old. But if you see the man, he doesn't look 63, and he has a wealth of knowledge that is going to be bestowed upon those players and that staff. I would love to see Larry Brown come to Bloomington. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but that would be a great opportunity. Man. There's been talk about it, right? I would, and here's why. In my view, my opinion, only mine, I believe in my heart of hearts that Larry Brown is the best coach I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not talking, he doesn't have as many titles. Coaching. This guy outcoached Phil Jackson with an undermanned Detroit team. He outcoached Oklahoma in 88 when he was in Kansas. Yes, he had Danny Manning, and that's it. Then he went and used to go back further, UCLA against Louisville, Daryl Griffith's group. He had Kiki Vandeweghe and a bunch of good guys. So this guy has shown on every level that he's a great coach and a great mind. And Mike Wilson, even if he's an advisor, would do him a lot of good having that guy in his corner. That's my two cents on Woody. I'm sure there's going to be some rebuttal.
Here's my only thing. The fact that you said it's a perfect hire, that's the only part I don't agree with. Because if it's a perfect hire, if you hire Dane Fife as your associate head coach, the coach, quote unquote, the coach in waiting, what the hell are you waiting on? Let's go ahead and start. Let's go ahead and start the new Indiana Hoosiers. We got the Indiana guy in there. What's Mike Woodson doing that's going to be any different from Dane Fife? Like Dane Fife's going to run a whole different offense when he takes over his own team.
Who says he's a coach in waiting? I don't know. I mean, if somebody said that, that's fine. I haven't heard that. Is that something that we feel, or is that something that's been shared from the university I'm talking about? I'm not talking about from Pigs or anything like that.
No, the university hasn't listed an associate head coach. That usually means you're the coach in waiting.
No, we're reading into it. Not necessarily that he's
– You think they're going to hire somebody else underneath him?
But it's just like having a recruiting coordinator or an analyst in football. You got a guy who can he has a relatability. One is he's an Indiana kid, right? Not an Indiana kid, but IU player, ex-IU player. secondly, he's been to a few stops and seen some pains and has grown some. It doesn't hurt you to have a guy like that on your side, having him as the associate head coach, because if Mike Woodson wants to be the CEO of the team and say, hey, you guys take care of this, I'll be the figurehead, by all means. And the reason why I say a perfect hire, this is the three prong here. He brings those three things that the last three coaches didn't have collectively. Character, Kelvin Sampson doesn't have it. A showman, Crean is a great recruiter, but as a showman, he wants the spotlight. That's not Mike Woodson. And third, you're talking about the guy Miller that just left. Woody's a winner. Miller's never won anything other than had a great season in Dayton. And his brother just left Arizona. So I even question character there too. So Woody has something with himself that three guys previous didn't have collectively. Argue me that point.
Boy, I hope you're right, because if not, I am coming for that ass.
No, I'm with you. Listen, hear what I just said. All right, that what I just stated, there's no argument to that point. I'm 100% right.
Well, what I don't, Tom Crean, like the showman, it's all about him. I don't think I saw that early at all.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, jumping. Listen, here's what I'm talking about. Sidelines. You're stomping your feet. You're running up and down the sidelines. This isn't track season, man.
90% of coaches do that. 90% of coaches do that.
We're talking Tom Crean, right? So Tom Crean has shown that he'll get that name.
What about
guy,
Bob Knight?
But
he did that. He was the showman.
You're talking about a guy who's won. Tom Crean has won the recruiting trail. He hasn't won anything else.
Big Ten titles. Yes, you guys like those.
I've never said that.
People like it. They beat number one Kentucky. Hell, I see that some bitch on the Twitter all the time now.
But you got to be realistic, though. You got to be realistic. And in this case, those are fans that aren't realistic, right? And
right.
We have fun with all of it, but they're just not realistic. What I'm saying is Crean will get that guy. Look at OG. Look at Victor. These guys were not developed. That is not Tom Crean's strength. That's something that Woody can do. That's what I'm saying. I believe in this guy wholeheartedly.
He gets the right guys around him.
Yeah, that's all. Coaches have that situation. You got to be surrounded by the right guys. And I just believe if he is surrounded by the right guys, I think Dane Fife is a great start. But I want to see the completion of the staff, and that's what I believe in. You're talking, and again, that point I made cannot be argued. And that's what I think is going to catapult him. And he's relatable. And not because he's an Indiana guy. And yes, I'm a little biased because I'm familiar with some folks in his family. But the fact, that guy is the right guy at the right time. 19 years of futility. Tell me I'm wrong.
I hope you're right.
You're right.
Man, I'm fired up about Woody, man. I'm telling you, I might get down to Bloomington a couple times next season.
John, what's your thoughts on this?
My thoughts is, man, IU talking hijacked the show once again.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm sorry, man. Hey, I missed out last week, man. I got to make up time.
Nah, it's okay, man. Last week, man, I had big question marks kind of moved with me with Woodson from being separated from the college game, not necessarily from basketball. And then when you have so many cooks or chefs
in the kitchen
like that, Larry Brown, like Woodson around program, who's making the decisions here? You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like, I don't want to.
I think Woody's your guy. I think Woody's the CEO, and I think that's what needs to happen. And you know, Johnson,
okay.
And to your point, you're going to make my point here, and I don't want to keep you guys time, but check this out. You just said, you know, we talk about Woody and what he's doing and all of that, cooks in the kitchen and all that, and you know, hey, he's been in the NBA game. What do high school kids say to their college recruiter? Can you get me to the NBA? Who of the past four guys, including Mike Davis, can do better than Woody? He's played it. He's coached it at a high level and in the biggest market.
High school kids will say,
how can I get to the league? No worries, young man. Come with me.
I mean, they did this. Tom Crean could do it. He had Dwayne Wade win a how many NBA championships?
Yes. He had Dwayne. They had one guy he stumbled into. Dwayne Wade went to Marquette not because he loved Marquette, because he didn't have those type of offers that he thought he was going to get. He developed himself. And
Oladipo?
I get that, right? The Dwayne. Yeah. Okay.
Hold on, man.
A guy who springboarded when he left IU.
Hold on, man. How y'all going to
springboarded?
Ooh.
Right.
How y'all gonna disrespect Travis Dainer and Marquette? How y'all gonna disrespect Travis Dainer?
What was I thinking? What was? I apologize. I forgot about the great Travis Dainer. But you know what I'm saying, though. I mean, Woody is a guy who's been there, done that. And I believe in the guy, man. I'm telling you, I really believe. I hope a lot of people have egg on their face, because I know there's been a lot of negative chatter. Oh, this guy's 63. What is he gonna do? All of those things. And that's all well and good. But let's get between the painted lines and see what happens.
I want egg on my face a little bit, just because we need to have more Indiana teams in the tournament.
I would agree with that, but it starts with Woody, and I'm happy about that. Let's see. We'll be on a lot, and of course, and communicating. But I'm ready to continue to talk that trash as the weeks go on. I can't wait to see he gets his first 5-star recruit coming in. Obviously, he's got the best player stayed on the team, Dale Davis's son, which is great.
Right.
He wasn't going to be a first round pick anyway. It was an easy call on his side, because he wants to be a first round pick. But I look forward to seeing what's coming out. Who comes out of Indiana that's willing to stay down in Bloomington? So that's my 2 cents on.
Hey, D-Cott.
Yes, sir.
They still about 3 years out from beating Purdue.
Oh, man, come on. Hey, listen, I'll have Purdue our call
state.
Next week. That number 23 for Purdue, and I'm terrible with names. But, man, I like this kid, man. He's leaving after next year. He's got an NBA game. He looks NBA-like. Not ready. He looks NBA-like already.
I don't know. His mom might not let him. I know she's the head coach of Notre Dame. She may want him to finish his education. That's what I've read online. So
right, fair enough. But I just think from a physical standpoint, and these guys want to hurry up and get that first contract out of the way. And it's a business call. It's not a friend call. It's a business call. And his mom being a coach and understanding, she understands the business side of it too.
Yep.
So that'd be something to think about, man. But I love the show, love talking hoops. I'll be listening for a little bit, tonight, because I'm not doing a whole lot after this. So definitely I'll be having my ear, and I'll be messaging you guys soon for sure.
Sounds good. Thanks, D-Cott.
All right, you guys take care. Be safe.
D-Cott, John, Indiana Hoosiers taking over the conversation again.
Man, we can't let D-Cott miss a week, man. We get blasted. It was like an avalanche, man. He missed a week, man. He made up for lost time.
I know he did, didn't he? I just kind of sat back and listened. But, hey, like I said, I hope he's right, because if not, I'll be coming for that ass when Mike Woodson gets canned, or they say, hey, Mike, we need you to step down, buddy. We want you to do that before. But my thing is, why wait? You're bringing Dane Fine. What? I don't understand what you're waiting for, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, the writing's on the wall.
It would have been the same parade.
And here's my thing. If it's not the writing on the wall, then they're doing it wrong again by going from Woodson to somebody else. And you think Dane Fine's going to say, do you think Dane Fine came to Indiana not being told, hey, you are going to be the IU coach in waiting when Mike leaves? Absolutely not. He did that initially already at Michigan State. He's not going to do that when he comes down here.
Right. Like I said, we'll see. Those are all to be continued stories. And I'm sure there'll be the more, mystique and whatnot, and the more, it'll get built up over summer, depending upon who they turn and who they pick up in transfer portal or who they get to commit even after next year. So, they have uphill battle. They really do, as far as building the program back up.
Yep. Okay. We'll do a quick ad read. When we come back, we'll cover the last thing on college basketball. We'll cover some quick news and notes before Tyrone Brown from the Indiana Lions joins us. We'll be right back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of Peekaboo and Duck Duck Goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also, we want to thank our other sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born. They specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks. Offer pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today at MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessories, light, custom installs, light LED lights, put them underneath your car, make a variety of custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and much more. Check them out today. Also, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. All right, John, we're back. Last thing I have college basketball-wise happened Monday as well. Actually, it happened on April Fool's Day. And I had to get confirmation it wasn't getting my leg pulled for like everything else was. Roy Williams decided to hang it up, retire. Roy, 30-some seasons, and they went with, as I mentioned to you, Hubert Davis. They stayed within the program.
Yeah, right. I told you, Hubert Davis, man. Don't come on the air shaming, man. Anyway, we're not going to go there.
Oh, look at that text message. That's pretty sure I said it first, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you said Brad.
You got to make me look for these receipts now.
You can.
Go ahead.
You can. But anyway, man, no, man, they stay within the family just like how they've done in years past when they hired – after Dean Smith stepped down, you know what I'm saying, retired or whatever. They brought in Bill Guthrie or whatnot. This is what North Carolina does. He's been an assistant for several seasons already, so he's already accustomed to the players and how they kind of run things already. I mean, hell, and like I said, he played there 4 score and 7 years ago before playing in the NBA. So there's really no, I really didn't have any questions about that particular hire. He is the first African American to ever coach basketball at the University of North Carolina. Which is an honor, you know what I mean? But I don't necessarily think he's necessarily using that as a crowning achievement. He wants to get UNC, he wants banners just like when they hired Roy Williams from Kansas. Your responsibility
right.
is to get North Carolina back to winning championships. I think that kind of gets done. Again, they still funnel McDonald's All-Americans and, you know what I'm saying, All-Stars from North Carolina, South Carolina, from the area. So I think it'll be a little bit different look, obviously, on the sidelines, you know what I'm saying. You can't take away the knowledge, the empathy, you know what I'm saying, that Roy Williamson had, you know what I'm saying, the years of knowledge that he had and what he put together and what he's meant to the Carolina program, what he's meant to college basketball overall. Hell, you talked about it. Off air, you know what I'm saying? Yes, Larry Brown won a championship with Kansas in the 80s, in the late 80s with Danny Manning. But when I think about Kansas, I think about all the team Roy Williamson had, where they kind of came up short for whatever reason, but they had magical runs either in the Sweet 16 or they lived in the Final Four or they made it a great, you know what I'm saying, to the Elite Eight or what have you. But again, you know what I'm saying, when his alma mater came a call and he you know what I'm saying, he went and he brought how many championships? He won 3 with North Carolina, I do believe. So again, now the honor and the crown is put on Hubert Davis' head, man, and you know what I'm saying, I couldn't think of anybody else. A lot of folks chirped me about Jerry Stackhouse. I said Jerry Stackhouse is a name that everybody knows, but his record at Vanderbilt is not one that North Carolina is wanting to bring over. You know what I'm saying? His culture of winning is not necessarily up to par just yet. And so outside of that, I couldn't think really about anybody. You said Michael Jordan.
Said Brad Stevens too. But if you look at I just sent you a text. I sent you the screenshot of Roy Williams retiring, and the very first line I said will probably be Hubert Davis. Look, I sent you the receipt.
Yeah, you put it on Crossroads Sports that Brad Stevens. That's so conversations between me and you is one thing. When you put it on Crossroads Sports,
okay. So we're even. We both won that.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. So, but like, no, man, I think I'm glad. I mean, North Carolina, they made the tournament, but hell, we didn't know it, right? Because Wisconsin bounced.
Like
Roy kind of alluded to why he left because, you know, saying the dynamics and the pressure of trying to keep up with the Joneses and try to get those guys that they used to North Carolina get, the Antoine Jamesons and the Vince Carters and the Brandon Haywoods. I'm trying to think who else, the George Lynches, the Eric Montroses. You know what I'm saying? The scope of college basketball to get elite level players is different than how you used to do it in the 80s and 90s. You know what I'm saying? There's like promises you got to make with this guy and that guy. You got to coddle. Yeah, you ain't got to even coddle kids anymore, Brandon. You got to coddle mommies and daddies.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to make promises. You got to make promises and whatnot. Some coaches have adapted to it. Some coaches had already been in it. If you think about Calipari, you think about the things that Patino did. If you think about how Coach K has kind of went he's kind of been up and down with the formula of getting one and done talent or even two and done talent. You know what I'm saying? So North Carolina, it's not necessarily something that, you know, say Roy Williamson come from a coaching where, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to have a kid for 1 year and basically you had that kid for 1 year and be tuned out half a year. You know what I'm saying? As far as basketball, so he likes development. You think about the 4 year guys he had out in Kansas with Scott Pollard,
right?
Or, you know what I'm saying? And that team was undefeated before they lost in the Final Four. So I don't know, man. Again, man, it's going to be different seeing Roy Williamson not being out there on the sideline, but hey, it's a new era, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it to seeing it.
Yeah, I agree. And you're going to get that soon from Coach K as well. When all these prime coaches that we've seen growing up and whatever are retiring and going away, there's got to be a new batch. It wasn't flashy, the Hubert Davis signing to North Carolina. Obviously, it made sense. I hope it lasts. I hope I'm wrong. I see it maybe 4 years or so, and then the Carolina faithful may get a little upset, and they kind of want that big splashy name, you know. But I don't know where. Like you said, I didn't have any names, you know. The coaching carousel was pretty much done by the time this happened. So it was weird. It was on April Fool's Day because I had to check a couple different sources to make sure it was accurate. So I didn't want to get fooled in on that. So. All right, John. We've got our first guest this evening. It's going to be an honor to join us. We got on there, ABA, Indiana Lions team. Last week we talked to
Connor Brownfield
last week, who's the PA, public address announcer for the Indiana Lions. Tonight we've got the big dog himself. We've got the Mr. Do-It-All, the CEO, owner, coach, Tyrone Brown joining us. Coach, how are we?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Hey, man, welcome to the show. I know we've talked a lot through the wire, Coach Brown. And, again, like I said, yeah. it's great to have you on. Me and Brandon talked a whole heck of a lot about NBA and college and saying you could probably bore you to death. And I didn't even know that Indiana, that there was a state and city of Indiana, had an ABA team. So can you tell us how the Indiana Lions came to be, and then how you came to be actually involved with them?
Okay, it's simple. It's an easy question. In 2018, I was introduced to the ABA owner, Joe Newman. He actually sits here in Carmel, Indiana, through a mutual friend. And, you know, growing up and hearing about the ABA, I was intrigued that the ABA was still around. I didn't know it was still around. And found out that it was a new birth starting in 1999, and offered me an opportunity to own a franchise. So as a business owner and being able to own a professional basketball team, you know, I was very intrigued, my wife and I. So we purchased the rights to the Indiana team in 2018, and that's how the Indiana Lions was birthed.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, man, because like I said, we talked to Connor last week. His dad is a friend of our program as well. I'm curious, man, how are teams kind of put together through like open runs or tryouts?
Well, there's tryouts, and I'll speak for the Lions. We have a tryout every fall. We market it through Facebook, Instagram, through other means, gymnasiums, through word of mouth. And we come together and find individuals who maybe, you know, they finished high school or they went to college and, you know, they didn't go any further. And so the ABA and the Indian Lions allows them an opportunity to continue their basketball careers. It gives them a chance to get in front of scouts. It gives them a chance to play at a high level that they can be developed and then maybe get that opportunity. You know, never you might get that call. So we always want to put them in a position that they can be successful.
Okay. We got a lot of information from Connor. Shout out to Connor.
Mm-hmm.
He told us that most of the guys have like regular jobs, regular things that they do during the week. So how does things like practice or even like two part question? How does practice work out, and how do you keep, you know, saying a guy working 9-to-5 job motivated to play a game on the weekend?
Well, most of them are already motivated because they want to try to get to the next level. They want to play in front of fans. They want to see if they can get overseas, if they can get NBA tryouts or G League tryouts. So it's not hard to motivate a gift that they already have. What we do is try to put them in position so that they have a place to play, mostly in front of their home fans and their families, but it gives them that next opportunity. So what we do with the Lions family, my wife and I, we offer them an opportunity. We are what we call a beacon of hope, a light to shine on them so they still have an opportunity. We want to continue to give them an opportunity. And so the Lions, you know, was formed in a way that it gives them hope, and it gives the community of Danville an opportunity to have their own professional sports team.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How fan friendly is it, the experience? I know the regular season is over right now. I really wish we could talk, because we're press guys ourselves. Like, we like to do like sidelines and stuff. But like, you know, what's the fan experience kind of like?
Excitement, fun, fast paced, friendly. We're geared toward the community. We're geared toward kids. So we give kids an opportunity to talk to the players, get on the floor with the players, play some scrimmage games. So they actually see these players up close. So if you ever get a chance to come to one of our games, as a matter of fact, we have one last game this Saturday to allow our fans to send us off in a special way before we get to the final eight. So we play this Saturday at 5 p.m. at 49 North Wayne Street, Danville, Indiana, 46122.
Okay.
All right,
perfect. Brent. Coach, yeah, Coach, looking at the season we've had, you guys have had a heck of a season. Mm-hmm. You're the ABA North Central Region champs. You just mentioned you're going to the Final Eight tournament. I think it's next week, the following weekend or so. Kind of talk a little bit about how this season has gone this year, and what were your compared to what your expectations were? Are you expecting to do this, to be the region champs and go on, or did it happen kind of quicker than you thought?
It's been a 3-year run, and it's been a process of growth. So over the last 3 years, we've had multiple different players that has come, but our consistent core of Mike Pugh, Kendrick Lee, Preston Case, Mike Carter, they've been here from the beginning. So our core has been there, and it hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. What we've been doing is just adding new pieces to go along with the guys that's already been there. So before COVID came last year, we were 20-4. We were right there at the cusp of, you know, making that next step. But this year we ended up 14-4, which gave us an opportunity to compete for a North Central title. And that's just part one. I mean, the ultimate goal is an ABA championship. And so guys right now are peaking at the right time. They're having fun. Their level of expectations for one another has grown over the last month. If people saw my team play a month ago, they would see a total transformation over the last couple of weeks. Winning something inspires people to want to do more. And so now they're playing together as a unit. So our expectations are high. It's always high every season. We believe we can. We are the best team out there. We just have to prove it day in and day out.
Absolutely. We're definitely going to be looking forward to checking in those games the next weekend. How do you juggle all of it between the owner, the CEO, the coach, the day-to-day operations of the program, even during on game days? How do you manage to do all that and, you know, still live life?
Well, first I put God first, and then I listen to my wife. She is the backbone of the Indiana Lions, and she's the backbone of what I do because I couldn't do it without her. There's been times when, you know, I was a little rattled, you know, didn't know if I want to continue it. But our mission is bigger than myself because we need to get out here as a family to show others that as a family, as a husband and wife, anything and everything is possible. So her being by my side has really motivated me and helped me continue to build character in the young men that I'm responsible for a day-to-day basis. So I juggle. I find time. You know, I'm always available for any player or any organization that wants to see us or wants to come out and be speakers. We're sponsoring different schools. We're in the community. It's part of our mission. So it's not a hard thing to do. It's just finding the time to do it and to do it well.
Okay, absolutely. John?
Coach, I'm intrigued by the level of play, man. Like, Connor was kind of tongue-in-cheek about some of the, like, a game that kind of abrupted, ended due to a, you know, due to a physical, to a fight. I'm trying to be PC about it. But, like,
okay.
I know that, and I know that's not the case, but, like, these games are intense, yeah, right?
They're very intense, and we've never had an incident at what we call the Lion's Den because we're Lions. And so being Lions, we're ferocious. We're fearless. So we're not going to downgrade our integrity for something that has a bigger calling on it. So, you know, sometimes, you know, even in professional sports, you have incidents. But our players understand the bigger picture because we do cater to our children. We do because they're role models. And so a kid will follow what they see. And so we always try to showcase the professionalism that we have as young men and as sports personalities.
Okay. I did also have to wrap my head around some of the rules being a little different about when you steal in the backcourt or you can get potentially up to, I think it's 3 points if you score, and then there's a four-point play as well.
Yeah, I'll go over that a little bit. It's called a 3D rule. The 3D rule is, and once the ball is inbounded, if it does not cross the timeline or to the half-court line before 7 seconds, that's called a violation. And so if you score a two-point basket, it's considered a three. If you score a three-point basket, it's considered a four. What it does, it moves the pace of the game. It's an exciting time. You're never out of a game. If you're down 15 points with, say, 2 minutes left, if you get a couple of 3Ds with three 3D baskets, you're going up by 2 points.
Yeah.
So the game's never over. You have to play the game all the way through. Then there's another unique rule. It's called a six-foul rule. You cannot foul out of the ABA. So if you have a player that's on the floor and he has six fouls, and as a smart coach, you're going to go after that player. You then get free throws for every foul he commits. So that's also an intrigue rule to the game because it's never over. So it makes you have to strategize of your players and the rules and making sure you truly understand the rules that benefit you.
That's awesome. Okay. I like that. I like that rule a lot.
It's a right. fun rule because in the gymnasium, everybody yells out 3D, and that's a light that goes off. And so when they see that light goes off, the intensity level rises because now from 2 to 3, 3 to 4. So you're looking at that basket, and it gives 3 more points to your team opposed to 2 points.
Perfect. Coach, you were talking about the core team that you had, as you mentioned earlier. Does it work like a contract, like year by year, or do those same players, can they get taken to another team, or how does that work with them?
No, some of the rules are you have to be 18 and out of high school, and they sign a one-year contract. that is like any other professional basketball contract. And it has different clauses in the contract. You know, they can't be they can't trade teams, but they also they can be at the halfway point can be traded to any team.
Wow.
So they have some of the same NBA rules, and they do apply. But I like my team. I like my core. So they're not going anywhere.
You hear that, everybody? They're not going anywhere. So you can check them out in Danville, Indiana, at the Lions Den. Go to their website as well, indianalions.com, Lions with a Y instead of the I, lions.com. Get some of their gear on there, their team stores on there. Get some stuff. Get face. John, you can get a face mask. So you can show up to their game with that face mask.
I'm with it because, you know, I'm still wearing my mask up all the way to the January until they say we can't wear them. So, Coach, before we let you go, man, I got to ask you because I know you play a little golf, man, and I'm an aspiring golfer where Brandon is the more experienced golfer on this particular phone call right now, man. So what's your golf game looking like these days?
I just got back in it, you know, taking some time off because we've been off about a week or so. Not too well right now because I'm still trying to concentrate on the remaining part of the season. But we did have a golf tournament last season, and we will be announcing it again for this season. We want all the fans to come out. We want sponsors to come out. We want we'll invite you guys to come out. It is so refreshing to see people who come out and support you and that want to connect to the team because the team is a part of the golf outing. This is what we call community service. So we give back to the community in all aspects. And so when players walk around Hendricks County or Marion County and they have their Lions gear on, they're recognized. They feel appreciated. They feel a part of something that is more than themselves. So the golf outing is just a part of it, but it's also a community service that we give back to this game that we love. You can follow us on at indianalions.com. You can follow us at hashtag on our Instagram. Indiana Lions. So we are just excited about this opportunity to talk to you guys and, give us an opportunity to tell you guys who we are. This has been a great experience this season with COVID. We've had many restrictions, and I thank the town of Danville and Mark Morgan, who has given us an opportunity to play this season. Also, a shout-out to Hendricks County Health Department, who's given us some rules and regulations that we follow. And a shout-out to all of our staff, volunteers, and fans that came out. Thank you guys for supporting us through these last three seasons. Now we have one more piece of business, which is that ABA Championship next weekend. Come out and support us.
Absolutely.
Coach Brown, you got some more supporters right now. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
And the Crossroads Sports listening audience, man, for sure, man. So we'll be cheering for you for sure, man. Hopefully we can get out there and see, you know what I'm saying, some of the games. Like I said, we promised Connor, you know what I'm saying, like I said, he's a friend of the program. We promised Connor, you know what I'm saying, we would support him. But I want to see, like I said, we love basketball regardless of what level it is. So, man, we definitely want to wish you well. And you know, say, hey, I ain't seen a red and white basketball play with in so long. You know what I mean? I'm kind of geeked to see that.
Well, you know what? When you guys come out, I'll make sure that the team signs a basketball as a gift.
Oh, wow.
To you guys, so that you will continue to have that memory of the Indiana Lions. But I want to give a special shout out to Connor. Connor's an intern at Avon High School, and he wanted to be a public announcer. And I wanted to give him an opportunity. One thing that the Lions do with our volunteers and our interns, we give them an opportunity. We give them a chance.
Right.
We are part of their emotional and mental growth as they develop into young men or young ladies. So we're catalysts because this has not been done in Hendricks County, and we're the first. But the memories of the opportunities that we're giving is synonymous in what we do as a Lions family.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Awesome. Coach, thank you once again. Good luck this weekend. We'll be backing you in the corner.
We'll
post it on our website, everything. That way they can follow you guys along.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
All right,
John, that's Tyrone Brown, coach, owner, CEO of the Indiana Lions ABA program. knocked it out of the ballpark. Great interview. We're going to support the Lions like we would already, but we're going to definitely support and root for them hard this next weekend.
For sure. For sure. Red, white, and blue.
All right. Yeah, you want to – hey, ABA ball, let's do it. Let's do it. Looking, John, real quick, we got a bottom of this hour. We've got Abby Jump of Wright State joining the program. Let's talk NBA. Indiana Pacers without four guys this evening. They didn't have their guys the other night. No DeMontis Sabonis, no Malcolm Brogdon. They got destroyed by the Chicago Bulls. It's just, I don't know, John. Are we going to be lottery picks? We playing for the lottery?
Probably. You know what I'm saying? You have these highs and lows with the Pacers, man. I'm glad D-Cott already called in, man. That would be a whole nother 10-minute talk about the Pacers, man, if we were, you know what I'm saying, we were talking about the Pacers with him. But, like, nah, man, you win one out in San Antonio, and, again, I guess Sabonis didn't play. Miles didn't play half the other half of the game last night against Chicago. Chicago's a different team now with all the trades that they went through, and they're trying to make a push for the playoffs, man. It just – Brandon, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth, man, when you don't have playoff basketball here in Indiana. It's kind of it's akin to not having Butler and Purdue and Indiana not go far in the tournament. You know what I'm saying? Took the blood, it's almost twice as much because, you know, at least you're gonna get seven games, you know what I'm saying, in the first round matchup, right? To be critical of some of the decisions made, we said on past shows what shouldn't have happened, what should have happened with Kevin Pritchard, what should have happened with Victor Oladipo, what should or shouldn't happen with this particular roster. Did they know that T.J. Warren wasn't going to be available or whatnot? You know what I'm saying? So all those things are kind of – I don't want to put them in a ball of frustration. You know what I'm saying? It would just kind of overload and explode, man. But this particular team, man, you feel like you can still have – you can still win – But that's not necessarily the case. They have gotten better staying in front of their opponent. You know what I'm saying? Last couple games, you know what I'm saying? They are playing a little bit better defense one-on-one, you know what I'm saying, as far as keeping their man in front of them and whatnot. The biggest thing with the Pacers is, man, they can't rebound. They cannot rebound. If the bonus is not out there, they can't rebound. And you can't have that. You know what I'm saying? I get it. The Miles Turner is the human eraser. He is. He leads the league. If he's not the league leader in block shots, he's probably second. But I think he's the league leader in block shots, right? He does make up a lot on the help side defense for the team when it's on defense. But what the team kind of needs to look for, either in free agency or either in the draft, is the guys who have nose for the ball, whether they play at the wing position or the forward position. You can get production out of a small forward that can crash the boards at the NBA level. You can. And it's not necessarily you have to go out and pay for a whole exorbitant, give a guy a $30 million, you know what I'm saying, for 3 year type of contract. You know what I'm saying? You can get production, but they have times where Brandon, it's staff. It is who they have on the team. I know you've been critical. I have too, about McBuckets. McBuckets is brought here. He was brought here to be a scorer. So, you know what I'm saying? But in anything else that kind of comes with him is kind of secondary. You know what I mean? But
right.
he does provide scoring. But even he has gotten better with his, you know what I'm saying, with his defense. It's still percentage kind of went up. T.J. McConnell's obviously, I think T.J. McConnell is like top five in steals in the NBA.
Yeah.
But again, man, there are things that you still need to have through the course of a game. And also, man, like I can pick on the players, man. Sometimes, like, who, like this Nate Morgan, man, oh my goodness, this rotation. And falling flat in the fourth quarter, man, it's all those things kind of are going to be huge question marks going into the off season. So those are things the Pacers need to find. You know what I'm saying? Guys, they have nose for the ball. You know what I'm saying? To go get, you know what I'm saying? So a rebound is possession. You know, if I'm wrong, right? That's
right.
You have possession of the ball to go score. I mean, we all know the name of the game is scoring, but you can't just run up. You know, you can't give up three to get two or vice versa, man. You still got to get the ball. You want to get the ball as many more times than the other team has. And we've got out rebounded, except for the San Antonio game. We've got out rebounded by double digits the last, you know what I'm saying, six, seven games. You know what I'm saying? That's not how basketball is won. Not in the old style NBA that Dr. Naismith invented, and not even in this new style NBA that we're playing right now. So I don't necessarily like lottery. Again, the Pacers unfortunately have won too many games. They won't get that top five guy, but there are some guys they can probably, you know what I'm saying, either trade out or make a deal for to go get. You know what I mean? But I don't like tanking. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Tanking is a whole terrible bad word to me for a professional team to do so. But like, again, man, they've got to find guys going to the offseason. They have the nose for the ball and can get and they have the nose for the ball and grit and go get a rebound.
Yeah, I'm not at the stage yet, John. I'll let you know and our listeners know when I am at the tank phase. I will tell you it's rapidly approaching. That even if we come, like, what are we going to do in the playoffs, really? Do we really think this team's going to win in the playoffs? I don't. I don't think at all. Right. And are we going to get another failure in the first round and everybody pissed off again? Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather just not even get my hopes up. Rather it's just season this year, lose it, and then get a lottery pick that we can do and just call it a wash. It's just bad luck this year, and it is what it is. And you got – having bad luck and all your players out, I mean, this is your 15th or 16th new starting lineup of the season. I think two starting lineups. So, like, and a first-year coach, that just spells a disaster, you know? So it's almost – I'm not at that point, but I'm getting very, very close. And it's what, April or whatever? Give me or two more shows and I'll be ready probably.
Oh wow! Two, three more weeks. You wanted.
By the way, I took the Timberwolves -1.5 tonight over the Pacers. So,
I don't know, man. That kid Edwards is a phenomenal, you know, saying basketball player, athletic.
Who's going to rebound?
Right, if
tonight, Golga
out there playing. He's going to Carlton Towns going to get all the rebounds, man. So for sure, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Golga
ain't
rebounding.
Oh man. Goga's coming into his own, but yeah, not to the tune of Carl Anthony Towns. Not quite.
Yeah, it was announced today that DeMar DeRozan will test the free agent market this offseason. You'll be leaving the San Antonio Spurs. If it's like anything else in the NBA, John, he'll either be a Brooklyn Net, a Los Angeles Clipper, a Los Angeles Laker. Is there any other teams I'm missing, or a Miami Heat?
Sounds like we're going to have a area code change for Kawhi Leonard as well. Oh yeah, Brandon.
I just saw today
about him resigning with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's in play.
You think he's done?
I think he's done with the Clippers.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they scapegoated Doc Rivers out of there. They tried to say it was his fault that they lost in the bubble. Let's not remind you that everybody, Paul George, was shooting baskets off the side of the backboard, right? And let's not remind you
playoff
that Pat Beverly couldn't defend, you know what I'm saying? He's supposed to be this era's glove. And, you know what I'm saying, we had Jamal Murray and Jokic Doncic. Again, those are elite level point guards, right? They went wild on them, you know what I'm saying? I do believe Donovan Mitchell, you know what I'm saying, pre-bubble, you know what I'm saying, had a, you know what I'm saying, a 40-point game against the Clippers. But, like, no, nah, man, I think, plus look at how much money is there really left that owner. And, again, he's got big banks, he's got big pockets as well. How much does he want to keep on selling? They brought in Kennard. They gave him, like, $54 million.
Oh, yeah.
And there's talk about bringing in Chris Schroeder. For whatever, man, oh my God, Dennis Schroeder for whatever reason won't sign an extension. He's getting turped by Laker fans about not be signing, and they offered him $94 million. So again, listen, he ain't even an All Star. He's not even an All Star, and wants what Victor Oladipo is turning down. He wants like $22 million a year.
Hey, income tax is higher in California, man.
Yeah, but he wants to stay in LA too. So there's rumors that he's going to end up with the Clippers. So they got Kennard fresh on the deal. They re-signed Paul, gave him $176 million. If you're talking about Dennis Schroeder is going to be a Clipper, like how much money? Like there's not enough zeros they can throw at Kawhi Leonard. So Kawhi Leonard,
maybe it's not about the money.
Who? dug up money. I don't know. I don't know. I think Kawhi's out of there. I really do.
Yeah, Sham said, and then Kawhi Leonard is expected to re-sign with the Clippers this summer, barring a traumatic turn of events. So unless they get their butts swept, I would think he's coming back. That's
they
your number one player.
They're still like, what seed are they right now in the West Conference? I think they're like number three or number four. I don't like them. If with a healthy 100%, I won't even say Lakers. We already know. LeBron James and AD will beat them like a drum, will beat the Clippers like a drum. They will if that was the matchup. But I don't think a healthy Utah Jazz, inspired Utah Jazz that believes that, you know what I'm saying, that they are overlooked and, you know what I'm saying, a small market team. I don't think the Clippers can beat the Utah Jazz in a 7-game series. So catastrophic. Yeah. I don't think the Clippers are not making out of the West. Like they don't have enough to get out the West.
Even how many guys are they going to put on this team? I feel like they got a full roster already.
Yeah, I just told you DeMarcus is a name, man. He can't. DeMarcus, shame on him. Should have signed his contract in Sacramento when they offered Vlade to try to give him $110 million, and he said no. I'm gonna go play with the Golden State Warriors for a year, and that failed miserably. Remember, right? So now, how many teams has DeMarcus been on since he left San Antonio?
Ooh.
I mean,
four.
Since he left the Kings, right? You know what I mean? So. I don't know. I don't think New Orleans, his name, New Orleans, Golden State, the Lakers, Houston, you know. I'm not,
thoughts,
I'm not
on, thoughts on Drew Holiday signed that big contract extension with the Bucks. They're a big believer. He's having his best season of the year of his career.
His biggest thing always is going to be health and how much he can, you know what I'm saying, be on the court. You know what I'm saying? He can play with anybody. He's played with, if you remember, he played with, he's rookie of the year with Philadelphia so many moons ago, right? And he had some good years statistical wise in with New Orleans, but once AD left, everything kind of, you know what I'm saying, fell to shit. Everybody wanted out. But like, no, man, that's good. Then, you know what I'm saying, Milwaukee's is quote unquote small market team. If a guy wants to stay there, that means he believes in the system. That means he believes in playing with Giannis. But like I said, his biggest thing is being healthy, and, you know what I'm saying, avoiding, you know what I'm saying, severe spread, you know what I'm saying, ankles and, you know what I'm saying, things of that nature.
Okay. Your boy got in some trouble, got fired from ESPN. I'm not talking about Skip Bayless. I'm talking about Paul Pierce.
Hold on, man. Before we get on Paul Pierce, man, Skip Bayless is the big – listen. That's 32 million. That's what they paid for. If Fox Sports gave him $32 million.
Uh-oh.
And he has no integrity, man. He after the shot, let me ask you, Brent, you was there. After Jalen Suggs made that shot, what did you say? How impressed were you? You know what I'm saying? After the shot, very impressed, right? This dude said lucky shot for a game they should have blew out. They should have blew out UCLA. Dude, you won't ever see me quote Skip Bayless ever again unless I'm clowning.
Oh, man.
Unless I'm clowning him, you won't ever. Man, that's the worst take. You try to let it. You let the air.
He's had bad takes on LeBron before. Come on now.
He's had horrible takes on LeBron. They try to go LeBron into, you know what I'm saying, coming on to the show. He ain't never coming on to no Skip Bayless.
Never.
Or Stephen A. show for that matter.
Hey, Max Kellerman better step it up.
Right, because he's going to get replaced by Brandon Reeve and Jonathan Bergstrom.
And then I won't work with Skip.
The truth made an error in judgment, and, you know what I'm saying, the Mickey Mouse Club said, hey, dude, we're not about that life. So
not anymore.
Nah, they candy.
Yeah, I saw that. I said, that's nuts. I just saw on Twitter, Reggie Sykes just now seeing the news about the Fox Sports app going to Bally Sports. So that information was out about 6 months ago there, Reggie. So way to catch up on that.
Reggie's a little slow. Sorry, good.
Yeah, a little bit. Looks like it's a golf game. Hey, by Indiana Lions golf, I'm there. Don't even have to ask me twice.
I know you're going to be there.
And you're there.
I'll be there, like, hanging out like I was, you know what I'm saying, last time we all went golfing, man. I'll try to shoot a little bit, man. I ain't going to embarrass myself. you know what I'm saying, too much. But I have to give me some practice in because I ain't that it's hitting the golf ball is a little bit harder than, you know, listen, artists, it's a little bit harder than what you think. It is.
Yeah, just a little bit. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a little bit. We got Masters talk, so we'll talk a little Masters before we end the show this evening. John, you're real quick, right before Coach Jump joins us. 49ers, they're going to draft Mac Jones and keep Jimmy G?
Oh, my God. There's so much intrigue with the NFL. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't think the Atlanta Falcons know what the hell they're doing. You got a quarterback that will wet the bed on you. and Matty Ice, as soon as he can get out there, as soon as he gets a 21-point lead, he's like, oh man, don't worry about it. We start throwing to the other team. And this is a quarterback rich, you know what I'm saying? Well, at least the first five picks or four picks, you know what I'm saying? And you want to trade out of four to get the trade down? I don't get it. I don't know what the San Francisco 49ers are doing. I don't know what the Atlanta Falcons are doing. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, that's crazy, and the fact that, you know, Darnold was traded to the Panthers out of nowhere. I see that coming.
Matt Rule will be coaching back in the Big 12 in 2 years.
Man, if he's there, then that means McCaffrey's not either. So
I like Christian McCaffrey. He needs to ask for a trade his damn self.
I know, right? Absolutely. All right, John, we're going to bring on our guest, reoccurring guest of the program, assistant coach at Wright State, the women Lady Raiders, who just had a great run in the NCAA tournament, Horizon League champs. Abby Jump joins us. Coach, how are we? Welcome back.
I'm great. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me back again.
Coach, long time. Coach, you know what? You were here in the heart of Indianapolis during the Horizon League Championships, man. Unfortunately, due to restrictions and whatnot, me and Brandon could not get press credentials to any of those games. But what did you think about? I know this is not the first time coming to Indianapolis, but what did you think about us being the host city for Horizon League Championship of this year?
Yeah, I thought that the Horizon League did a great job. You know, obviously you're hoping and praying that you can stay safe and stay healthy to make it there. And obviously I can't imagine the stress that they were under to just make sure everything worked out and to have it safe enough for us to be able to play. But I thought Indianapolis did a great job. I thought the Coliseum was a great spot. They made you feel welcomed. And even though we couldn't have fans, you know, we had cutouts from all different teams, some of our cutouts there as well. So, you know, I thought they did a great job given the circumstances.
What were some of your takeaways? I think y'all kind of like Goliath, you know what I'm saying, during the Horizon League, at least in the tournament, rather, you know what I'm saying. But I think what were some of your takeaways from that tournament run?
Well, the conference tournament, well, here's the thing. IUPUI was picked to win it. You know, and IUPUI had a great season. And Macy Williams is player of the year for a reason, three times in a row. She's an amazing player. Austin Parkinson is a great coach. And they have a really great team. So we knew if eventually we saw them, whether it was going to be the Final Four or in the championship, that it was going to be a really tough matchup. And from the jump, it wasn't an easy situation for us because you got to play NKU in that quarterfinal.
Right.
And they're a great team, and they're young. And not only do they have really talented young kids, but they have experienced older players as well, a really talented mix. So we had to get past them. And it's hard to play any team three times, right? And we just mm-hmm. gotten done playing them back-to-back. And then – obviously, Cleveland State upset Green Bay, so we got to see Cleveland State instead of IUPUI in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland State plays 40 minutes of zone. So you go from playing against NKU, who is talented and can play man and zone against you, and then you go right into playing 40 straight minutes of zone. And Cleveland State has the Defensive Player of the Year. They have pieces. They have Sixth Man of the Year. So we felt like if we could get past Cleveland State in that, then, you know, we felt good going into having an opportunity to win it all. but then you had to turn around and after playing 40 minutes of zone, knowing that you're about to play probably 40 minutes of man against IUPUI, and they're just tough and long and athletic, and again, they had
right.
They just won it, you know, and had that probably that taste in their mouth that they wanted to. And so the ball kind of had to bounce the right way for us a couple times, and Angel Baker went crazy, and we had some key pieces step up. And our post player package did amazing. Our freshman point guards played probably the best they had played all year that weekend. So I don't know. When you win a championship, obviously you got to have talent, and they got to show up, be able to show up. But you also, that's some luck. That takes, you got to stay out of foul trouble. You got to stay injury free. And it takes a
right.
lot of luck to win championships as well. But gosh, what an amazing experience, because, I can't even tell you the amount of times we had to quarantine and just sit down and kind of cut things off and not knowing what the next day was going to look like, if we could even practice or not. And to be able to make it through that and to see those kids celebrate, you know, it just wasn't anything better than that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hey, I tried to watch.
Go ahead, Brent.
John, I tried to watch that quarterfinal game, mm-hmm. and I was running errands, and I was like, yeah, I'll get to it. I thought it was on late in the afternoon or in the evening. John, that thing started at 11 o'clock local. the game was already over by the time I was ready to watch it. I said, what? Man, and then at least I got to see the championship, though.
Yeah, awesome. Well,
yeah, so it was good.
Great game.
Now, I do want to talk, before you guys the next one. Now, when they did the women's selection show, and they showed you guys on there, Coach, I was looking for some more dance moves than what I saw. I rewound it and looked again, and I didn't see much. I saw hiding back there.
You know, I can dance a little, just a little, but we saved that. We sat in the back row to allow, you know, the new ones, especially the freshmen who have not experienced that, and the sophomores, they were really excited. So we left that dancing up to them. And you know what? I was so thrilled that when Arkansas popped up on the screen, our associate head coach played at Arkansas. So I was I couldn't believe it. Like, oh my gosh, we got Arkansas. So I was looking at her, trying to get her reaction and stuff. But yeah, we left that dancing up to them. We don't want to embarrass them with our moves.
How great is it to, and obviously you guys have done it before with winning the Horizon. How special is it every time during Selection Sunday when you get to see your name pop up there, and how quick does it go from celebrating we've made it, there's our name, to oh, there's our opponent, we got Arkansas. How is that experience?
Well, I'll tell you, our marketing team did a really cool thing. They posted the day of on Selection Show Monday that our 2014 team with a picture when we found out we were playing UK, and then in 19, that team celebrating. And it was really cool to just see, and I can remember the feeling as a player in 2014 of how special and how excited, and just knowing that there's only 64 teams that get to see their name pop up. So I was so excited for our team this year to experience that, because you had a few that have, you know, were there in 2019 that got to be a part of it, but a lot of them, we had six players just this past year who were new to the program. So I was so excited for them. That is an amazing feeling, that it feels like it's once in a lifetime every time it happens, because you just don't know when it's going to happen again. So that was special. And then obviously, Charlie Cream with ESPN does bracketology, starting from the first conference championship game all the way through, and he kind of chooses in what he thinks is going to happen. So we were paired with, in his bracketology reports, Indiana, UCLA, Oregon, Arkansas wasn't even on there. So we were trying to go, well, maybe Charlie will get it right on one of these. And so we were doing some scouting on those teams just to get ready. And then Arkansas pops up, and we're like, oh my gosh, we fairly prepared for that. But was really awesome, just because and I don't know if you guys know this, but our associate head coach, when we went in 2019, she played for Gary Blair at Arkansas. Well, Gary Blair is at Texas A&M. So in 2019, Texas A&M pops on the screen, and she's like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to coach against who I played for. And Arkansas pops up, and I'm like, I don't know about you, but every time we go to the NCAA tournament, there's some tie to you. So she was really excited, and she took that Arkansas scout and ran with it, and she did a phenomenal job on just preparing our kids. So it was really special just to see that and have the tie to her. So it was a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, how was
Coach, go ahead, Brad.
Go ahead, John. Okay, I got one more. No, I'll let you go.
It's funny that go ahead, damn, Brad, go ahead.
All right, here we go. I got it, John. I'll get this when you get the next one. So what you guys leave, obviously you get done with Horizon League Championship, you get the thing, then it's time for quarantine. And how just was, I guess, going bubble life this year for the NCAA tournament compared to the excitement that you normally have had in the past with the fans in around the hotel areas, to kind of you guys just being on your own little island there for a bit?
Right. Well, again, thankfully, we only had two players that experienced that 2019 NCAA tournament run. And understanding what that felt like. So everybody else didn't really know what to expect, which I think was a double-edged sword, because you want them to experience the full thing with fans, and you're in the lobby, and you can run around and, you know, get to meet up with the other players that you know on the other teams in the tournament. But thankfully that they hadn't experienced NCAA tournament, so they were just thankful and happy to be there. And I think Trina and our staff, we try to do a really good job of just making them be grateful and show gratitude no matter what it looks like, especially this season, because we could have not played at all.
Right.
That was interesting, but the bubble was tough. So we left the morning after the selection show, and you know, obviously you get to hop on the plane and you land in Texas, and immediately you go get down there and start getting tested, and you had to test a certain amount of times before you got there as well, just to make sure everybody was safe and clear. But our team, they're such a close-knit team. Like, when we're on the road, like, all they want to do is bounce back and forth in between each other's rooms and hang out. And, you know, they don't sit still. They like to be around each other. So that, we knew, was going to be tough, because they all had to stay individually by themselves for a few days, just to make sure everything was okay. And when we got to come out, it was for testing. So it was a challenge, and I commend our players to be able to get through that while still doing schoolwork, while still trying to, you know, feel the excitement, and then stay safe at the same time. And then once we were able to kind of come out and see everything, that made it a little bit easier. But I just think that they were just so grateful and excited to be there, that when it finally got time for us to be able to practice, we practiced really well for an entire 4 days. And I think it was because they were just so itching and so ready to be around each other again, that it turned into a really good practice, you know, for us as a whole, and help prepare us for the game.
Okay. Coach, you mentioned prior to that, you're saying you thought y'all was going to have to play Indiana, and me and Brandon actually thought y'all was going to have to play Indiana. We were going to have, you know what I'm saying, split allegiance and, like, who was going to root for personally. You know what I'm saying? Professionally is one thing, personally is one thing. Of course, we're going to back Wright State every time. But, like, you know what I'm saying, you drew Arkansas, and I hate the word. Seeding kind of frustrates me. You know, and I know from a coach standpoint, y'all don't necessarily care about seeding when you can go in and got to play who you got to play. But that particular game against Arkansas, you guys led the majority of the game. You were up at the half. How many nails did you bite the last 2-3 minutes?
Well, the seeding situation to start, the awesome thing about the seeding is, one, again, it's the first time it feels like all season, besides maybe playing like IUPUI and Milwaukee or whatnot, that you don't have a target on your back, right? You go in and you're a complete underdog because of the number next to your name. But because of COVID and the situation, and it was all neutral sites, we didn't have to go to Arkansas, which was really nice because we had to go to Texas A&M for the first round in 2019. So even those unwanted circumstances with COVID and no fans in that situation, the neutral site thing, obviously, we loved because, you know, there was zero home court advantage.
Right.
And we were able to get a lot of our fans, our kids' families, our coaches' families were in the stands for that game. So the seating, yeah, that was interesting. But going in, you're a complete underdog. And from the tip, and I'll tell you something about our team, and it's, again, double-edged sword because you want them to respect everybody you're playing. You want them to understand the magnitude of the situation you're walking into and understand how good and talented some of these teams are that we've faced all year long. But at the same time, we have some young kids that are just like, hey, listen, I really don't care who we're playing. I just want to play and roll up the ball. Just tell me what the scout is. And they're kind of fearless in that way. And I think that has helped us all year long in certain games and situations because they just weren't scared of anybody. They respected them because that's what we have always, you respect everybody. But they didn't fear anything. And when Arkansas popped up on the screen, you know, it's the SEC, they're top 15 in the country. And
right.
you gotta prepare them for that and for them to have multiple WNBA players and all Americans. But they believed in the scout that Tennille Adams put together, and they believed in our game plan. And they thought, well, they haven't seen Wright State, though, either. And that mentality going into the NCAA tournament, it didn't feel like we were just going because we won the conference championship and we were just happy to be there. They wanted to win. And so right. when that game started and shots started falling and we were playing, we were locking in defensively and following the game plan almost to a T, you know, you just pray that the 10 minutes can hurry up and then the next 10 minutes can hurry up because things are going so well. And then, you know, then you get to that fourth quarter and then you're like, guys, 10 minutes, we're almost there. And, you know, kudos to Arkansas because they did. They attacked us. They made us foul them, and they shot an unbelievable percentage from the line. And they tried everything that they could, but our kids just stayed in it and didn't let it get to them, and they didn't fold. And Dungy hits this three at the top, and they take the lead for the first time all game. And we had a timeout. We take it, and the look in their faces, everybody was really calm. And I think all of us, the staff, we were probably sweating, and I think I felt like I was probably going to pass out seeing black dots. But our kids were really calm, so I'm like, okay, they're calm. They expect to win. They believe in it. And so it was a really surreal feeling because they were like, hey, we're cool. And it wasn't us telling them that. They were telling each other, like, hey, we're fine. We're fine. And something really awesome is Jada Roberson is our starting three player. And she got in foul trouble. She had four fouls early. She had to sit majority about 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. And then our freshman point guard fouls out, and she's having a great game. Mm-hmm. Well, she feels terrible. She's emotional. And Jada Roberson somehow gets her mind wrapped around, okay, like, I just sat, but I have to be ready, and we got to win. And she goes and hits the biggest free throws of the entire game after sitting for 8 minutes in the fourth. And it was just so everything was clicking. And everybody was calm, and it was really unbelievable experience. And I'm really proud of them because you just going into that experience. There's 64 teams, and you're just about to do something that you're not supposed to do. What other people don't think you can do, and they believed it from the second we got on that plane and landed in San Antonio that we're going to have a chance to win. So it was just it was an awesome experience.
Well, Coach, I know we're kind of pressed for time, and I did want to kind of deep dive a little bit into the Missouri game. I do just want to ask you, like, so what this whole experience with going through the Horizon, mm-hmm. going through the Horizon League Championship, and going through the NCAA tournament with the win over somebody they said you couldn't beat, or and even and like and then I said kind of coming a little bit flat
I was, my personal opinion, watching the game a little emotionally. You know what I'm saying? I started a little spent against Missouri.
Yeah.
What was all this experience? What did you kind of, from a coach standpoint, what have you taken away from it that you kind of built upon in, you know what I'm saying, in your future coaching endeavors?
Yeah. Well, that you just don't take any of that stuff for granted, because there's so many players and so many coaches ever get to experience a conference championship, don't get to experience Selection Show Monday or playing in the NCAA tournament or winning a game in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's what we stick to as a coaching staff, and what we taught our kids is just you can't take advantage of it, and you got to be grateful for everything. It's all a blessing, and you got to ride the wave. And that's kind of what happened, you know, after we beat Arkansas. You can't take that joy from them. They got to experience it because it hasn't been done. They have done something that has never happened in Rice Aylin's basketball history. And so you allow them to ride that wave. You know, they're excited. They're all over social media. They're on Good Morning America, you know, like on ESPN, give shout outs. And you got to let them enjoy that. But that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament is, then you have to come back down to earth and understand that now you're playing an even another great opponent, and you're getting inching closer and closer. Now you're only one of 32 teams left playing.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's just what happened. And Missouri State has played together for so long. They're old and they're experienced, and they had just played in the Sweet 16 and probably would have made it there again last year if there was one. And so you just run into a team that just had a little bit more in the engine and stuff left, and so we kind of ran out of gas a little bit, but they went down. We went down swinging and tried everything that they could, but you know, Missouri State has the same identity as us. We're a defensive and rebounding team, and so I knew we were probably going to be in trouble when we have a really tough little freshman guard, and she got out hustled for a loose ball, and she said, "I tried everything I could." Like, her legs were just done, you know. So I was like, "Oh man, I think, you know, this is going to be tough." But yeah, you just don't take it for granted, because it's just it's so special. It really is, and it's hard to put in words how amazing the experience is to just win a championship and compete for one, and then be one of the 64 teams to make it to the biggest dance.
Well, like I said, it's a lesson learned. We hope this. I know we'll see even more great things out of Rice State women's basketball. I know, because I know you just got you made the other list the Power 30 list again. So I know we're going to see even bigger and brighter things for yourself going into next season, Coach. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and I like I said, thanks for coming on again.
No, the pleasure is all mine, and you know I pay off the right people for that award. I didn't. I just pay off the right people, I guess, every time. So, no, that's the Village Award. But the pleasure is all mine. Always love to chat with you guys. So I appreciate you guys having me again.
All right, thanks, Coach. Enjoy the off season.
And thank you so much. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, that's Coach Abby Jump, Wright State Women's Basketball Program. Good insight there with the Lady Raiders, kind of how they went with the postseason there. It was a unique season, to say the least. But shout out to them. Great job, ladies. Horizon League regular season and tournament champs and NCAA tournament berth and into the round of 32. So congrats to them. Bigger and bigger things next year. John, we got 5 minutes left. Master... favorites. I like John Rahm. He just had a kid. So I like John Rahm this week to win. I also kind of like Patrick Cantley. Rahm and Cantley are my two guys. And if you made me throw a third in there, I'll say Justin Thomas.
Yeah, Bruce Kepa's not going to win. You know what I'm saying? Not this year. He's coming off surgery. He's going to be somebody. He's going to be the name everybody's kind of have their eyes on. If I had a guy that I could get emotionally behind, it would probably be Colin Morikawa. I know I messed up the name every time.
Oh, you did good there. It was good.
Sweet. That's the kind of guy that I want. He's a young guy. He could probably potentially take, you know what I'm saying, golf into a different direction, you know what I'm saying, from a marketability standpoint. But, like, nah, man, I'll be watching. The John Rahm's probably, you know what I'm saying, the Vegas favorite for sure.
Yeah. WWE Hall of Fame was last night, John. It just, they did a 2020 and 2021. It just didn't have the spaz, obviously, with the fans, the pumped in audio they had. But I just feel bad that the nominees didn't get their moment with the fans. It was just a little
right, felt a little flat. Yeah. I still gotta watch it. You know what I mean? I thought you wanted to talk a little bit. I thought you really want to talk about your Reds, man. You know what? You
big win today.
Yeah, I'm saying, man. They're like, what, the Reds, like 4-1, 5-1?
5-1 now.
I think last year, if you think about it, when we had Coach Mike Fleck on from Ball State Golf, I think me and you were, our crystal ball was a little bit, you know what I'm saying, forecast a little bit too early. Last year we said we thought their bats would carry them through the season, and the bats kind of fell flat, and the pitching was, I thought, was even, you know what I mean, last year. Mm-hmm. This year, dude, they need to play the Cardinals, you know what I'm saying, 5 more times. Shoot.
And the Pirates.
Yeah. And the Pirates, man, yeah. So like, I think this year their bats are is Wesley was fueling the team. They got the slugger. I think they got the overall slugger percentage rating, the highest slugger percentage rating. It's early, but yeah, I think they got the overall highest slugger percentage rating in Major League Baseball right now.
Oh yeah, I've got them. They've won me some money, so keep it up, Reds. I know myself and Mike Fleck and J&B are all loving life right now. First place in the NL. Cincinnati Reds. Last thing I have, John, not good news with your boy DMX. I don't know if he's going to pull through, man.
Man, I mean, there's been multiple rappers and there's been multiple, you know, hip-hop heads that just praying for DMX, man. I said a prayer for him. I sent out, you know what I'm saying, I retweeted some of his songs, man, just to try to put positive vibes in the air for him, man. I don't want to get into, like, what, you know what I'm saying, how he got to this point. But, like, man, I just hope, you know what I'm saying, he's one of the greatest hip-hop stars of all time, man. And to see him kind of go out like this is just terrible. So I'm hoping he pulls through. I hope a miracle happens and he pulls through.
Absolutely. I have not watched the season finale of Walking Dead yet. I know it's Negan's episode. I didn't get to watch it on Sunday night, but I will watch it very, very soon.
You'll love it.
Well, it's a season finale. It's got to be a good one. And then I guess we'll be getting the next season, the final season, like, what, in October?
I think so, yeah.
My goodness. Crazy. I just finished, what series did I, I'm just now getting ready to finish Shameless. Their last season ever of the show is next Sunday. So it's, I've been busy, busy, busy. And I leave next, oh, by the way, real quick, we got 2 minutes left. May or may not be a show next week, and if we do have it, it would be possibly on Tuesday. I don't know, depending on what my schedule looks like. I leave for vacation next Wednesday. I have a lot to get done in a short amount of time. So next week's show, we may have a week off for next week. We may just have to do a Facebook Live at some point. But that's all I have on anything. John, what do you have? And then we will wrap.
Man, just want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. We want to thank our other sponsor, Mathis Custom Motorsports. Dude, how can we not thank Tyrone Brown from the Indiana Lions for coming on and giving us even more detail about ABA basketball and their quest for a championship? How can we also not thank Coach Abby Jump from Wright State and what they built with that program and hopefully I see them even more. We'll go even further, deep into the tournament next year. So other than that, man, you know, I know we're short for time, man. We got to turn this show to crank it up, man, get another hour out going further, man. But other than that, man, great show, man. Thanks to everybody that called in, D-Cott. Thanks to Brandon Reeves for running the boards, man. And, like, hey, everybody, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content. Thank you.